Welcome to the Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you joined me here on this Thursday. And we're counting down to Christmas Day, Saturday, December the 25th. This is Thursday. So I guess this would be the 23rd. And I'm so glad you're with me today as we continue to look at lessons from the faith of Mary and from all of the circumstances surrounding the birth of Christ, what power-packed insights there are and lessons for us today that can help us in our walk of faith. Now today I want to talk about the power of the promise and receiving the power of the promise. The angel made a promise to Mary. He said, you're going to bring forth this son who's going to be called the Son of the Most High. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And of course, this is when Mary responded, how can this be? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. Wow. And then the angel goes on, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son. Now this is talking about John the Baptist. Was, as far as in the natural, they were cousins. Mary's cousin, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I love that. And that is true. However, that's not the most accurate translation. The literal Greek reads there in verse 37, literally says, for with God, the King James, New King James translation says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. But the Greek text literally reads, no rhema from God is void of power. And so the angel is saying to Mary, now Mary, what I'm saying to you is going to happen. It's a promise. It's going to happen. And I want you to know also that your cousin Elizabeth, who is well advanced in years and has had no children, she is pregnant as well. And the one who was called barren is now 6 months pregnant. Because no word from God is void of power. And the word there, it's the Greek word rhema. No rhema from God is void of power. A rhema is a particular word or promise for a specific situation. Now, when God gives a promise, the power of fulfillment is inherent in that promise. This is why the angel Gabriel said, no word from God, no rhema from God is void of power. Every promise of God has inherent power. Just like a seed. You know, the word of God is compared in Scripture as seed. Remember the parable of the sower that Jesus told who went out and sowed the seed? Now, the thing about a seed is that a seed has the inherent power within itself to produce the desired end results. For example, to have a harvest of tomatoes, you do not have to know all the science of how a tomato seed germinates and grows into a mature tomato plant producing beautiful red tomatoes. No, you don't have to know all of that. You simply have to put the seed in the ground and look after it, because the seed has the power within itself to produce the end results. And in the same way, the angel is saying to Mary, Mary, this promise that I am giving you, this is a promise from heaven. This is a promise from the throne of God. It has the power within itself to produce the end results, because no word from God is void or empty of power. And so this is true of the rhema or word of God. It has the power within itself to produce the desired end results. Our part is to allow the seed to be planted in our hearts and then guard or steward that promise until we see it mature and bring forth the promised fruit, our fulfillment. Now Mary responded. She said, "Let it be to me according to your word." So she is receiving the word. She's allowing that word, that promise, to be planted in her heart. Let it be to me according to your word. I know that in the natural, it's impossible. I know I can never make it happen. But be it to me according to your word. Be it to me according to your promise. I want to encourage somebody today to say to God, "God, be it to me according to your promise." Go ahead and speak that promise. Articulate that promise in prayer to God. And then say, "God, be it to me according to your promise." And so, Mary is in effect saying, "I recognize that it's naturally impossible, but nonetheless, let it be to me according to your word." This was the faith response for which Gabriel was looking, and with it he departed. Mary then departed to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who upon seeing her exclaimed, the Spirit came upon Elizabeth when she saw Mary, and she exclaimed, "Blessed is she who believed." Wow. What did she believe? She believed the word. She believed the rhema of God. She believed. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things that were told her from the Lord." All my friends, I want you to believe those things that God has promised you, that God has promised us. Believe them. Embrace them. Let it be. Say, "Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word." And oh, I love those words of Elizabeth to Mary. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment." And blessed are you, listening to me, who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things God has spoken to you about, because no word from God is void of power. That word has the power packed within it to bring about what is spoken, the end results, and what has been promised. You know, Mary's response and all of this reminds me of something that Luke tells about a little bit later in chapter 5 of his gospel, where Jesus, after using Peter's boat from which to teach, instructed Peter to launch out in the deep and let down his net for a catch. Now, Peter is a professional fisherman, and he and his partners have been fishing all night and haven't caught anything. And now this carpenter-turned-preacher is going to tell him how to catch some fish. Peter responded when Jesus said, "Now, Peter," after Jesus finished teaching from Peter's boat and said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch," Peter responded that he had fished all night without catching a single fish. But now listen to this, what he said. "Nevertheless, at your word," at your rhema, this was a specific word to Peter, "at your word, I will let down the net." In other words, I'm going to let that word be planted in my heart. I'm going to act upon that word. In effect, Peter was saying the same thing as Mary. "Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your promise. I'm going to act upon your word." He did. Filled his boat with fish, had to call his partners. They filled their boats with so many fish that they started to sink. Some of their nets broke, and they were overwhelmed with awe. And when Peter got to shore, he fell at the feet of Jesus and acknowledged his lordship. My, my, my. Here's something I want to believe for you and for me in the days ahead. That these principles that we're sharing will help us move into a place where the miracles in our lives will be so far beyond our own faith and abilities that we too will be astounded and in awe of what God does in our lives. This happened to Mary. It happened to Peter, and it's happened to countless others since that time. And it can happen to you and me. Mary's miracle, now not bringing forth the Savior, but of believing God's word. Peter's miracle, The miracles of the New Testament are based on these principles we're sharing. This can be our miracles and our faith as well. God bless you. I'm Eddie Hyatt. Have a wonderful Merry Christmas, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another episode of the Awakening Podcast.